A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's thinking about towing, but in two contexts that most people would never put in the same mental category. On one hand, vehicular towing, you've got a trailer loaded with goods. Everything needs to be ratcheted down. You're on a highway at speed. On the other hand, manual towing, platform trolleys, maybe daisy chained into a little train, being pulled across a flat floor by a person. The question is what equipment actually works for both worlds, and specifically three things. How to safely clamp on to whatever you're towing, what the tow line itself should be, and what kind of handle makes sense when the power source is a human being.
The thing that makes this a genuinely interesting engineering question rather than a shopping list is that the same three subproblems show up in both contexts. Clamping, the tow line, the user interface, but the constraints are so wildly different that the optimal solutions end up looking nothing alike. You're comparing a 750-kilogram trailer at 80 kilometers per hour to a train of four platform trolleys on polished concrete being pulled by someone who weighs maybe 80 kilos.
In one case, the failure mode is a trailer coming unhitched on a highway. In the other, it's a strained lower back or a trolley train jackknifing into a wall. The stakes are different, but the principles are the same, and most people get the equipment wrong in both scenarios.
This is actually timely. DIY moving is way up, people are renting trailers and doing their own hauling instead of paying for full service moves. And on the urban logistics side, last mile delivery by handcart is expanding fast, especially in dense cities. So we're talking about stuff that a lot of people are doing right now with zero guidance beyond whatever the hardware store employee told them.
Which, in my experience, is usually. This one's on sale.
So let's break down the two contexts and see where they overlap and where they diverge. On the vehicular side, you're dealing with a trailer. Let's say a standard, unbraked single axle, 750 kilograms gross weight. The goods on it are secured with ratchet straps, and the trailer itself is coupled to the vehicle through a tow hitch. Three separate mechanical interfaces, but they all boil down to the same question: how do you connect two things so they stay connected when forces are trying to pull them apart?
On the manual side, you've got platform trolleys, those flat four-wheeled carts with a handle, and you want to link several of them together and pull the whole train by hand across a smooth floor. The force is a tiny compared to highway towing, but the connection problem is actually harder in some ways, because trolleys aren't designed to be towed. No hitch, no anchor points, nothing.
So the clamping problem, how you attach to the load, is solved in the vehicular world by ratchet straps with rated working load limits and standardized anchor points on the trailer bed. In the manual world, you're improvising. Wrap around straps, clamp on hitches, maybe magnetic couplers if the trolley frame is steel. Same principle, completely different hardware.
The tow line itself is the second piece. For a trailer, you've got a rigid tow bar, an A-frame that transfers braking forces and keeps the trailer tracking straight. A rope is only for emergency recovery, and even then the material choice between nylon and polyester matters enormously because of how much each stretches under load.
For manual towing, the rope or bar you choose determines whether the trolley train follows you smoothly or jerks and jackknifes every time you start walking. A rigid bar gives you directional control. A rope absorbs shock but introduces sway. The material properties that keep a trailer stable at 80 kilometers per hour are the same ones that keep a trolley train from fishtailing across your apartment floor.
Then the third piece, the handle. In a vehicle, the hitch is your interface, and it's engineered to transfer thousands of newtons. For manual towing, the handle is what connects a human shoulder girdle and spine to the load, and if the height, diameter, or grip shape is wrong, you're transferring force straight into your lower back instead of your legs.
The thesis is, same three subproblems, same underlying physics, load distribution, friction, material fatigue, ergonomic force transfer, but the constraints of speed, mass, and human physiology push the optimal solutions in completely different directions. We'll trace this from the heavy end first, vehicular towing and ratchet strap mechanics. then shift to human-powered trolley trains and what actually keeps you from hurting yourself. Let's start with the ratchet strap itself, because most people use these without ever understanding what's actually happening inside the mechanism. The heart of it is a pawl and gear system. You've got a toothed ratchet wheel and a spring-loaded pawl that clicks into each tooth as you crank. Every click you hear is the pawl dropping into the next slot, and that's what prevents the drum from unwinding.
The clicking isn't just satisfying audio feedback, it's the sound of a mechanical lock engaging.
Each tooth on the ratchet wheel represents a tiny increment of tension. The handle gives you mechanical advantage, typically somewhere between 15 and 20 to 1, depending on the strap width. So if you're cranking with 10 kilos of force on the handle, you're putting something like 150 to 200 kilos of tension into the webbing.
Which is already more than most people realize. They think they're just snugging things down, and they're actually generating serious force.
And this is where the EN1295-2 standard comes in. Every rated ratchet strap has two numbers, the working load limit and the breaking strength. The standard mandates a minimum 2-to-1 safety factor between them. So a strap with a 500 kilogram WLL must break at no less than 1,000 kilograms.
That sounds generous until you factor in what a highway actually does to a load.
That's the part people miss. The WLL is for static loads, a trailer sitting still. But at 80 kilometers per hour, hitting a pothole generates dynamic forces that can spike well above the static weight. A 750 kilogram trailer hitting a bump can momentarily exert forces equivalent to over a ton. So the practical rule is never exceed 50% of the strap's WLL for highway use. That 500 kilogram WLL strap, realistically good for about 250 kilos of cargo under dynamic conditions.
Daniel's 750 kilo trailer scenario needs straps with a combined WLL around 1500 kilos, minimum.
And that means multiple straps properly placed. But the strap rating only matters if the webbing is intact. The standard also requires inspection before every use. If you can see the colored core yarn to any cut or abrasion in the outer sheath, the strap is done. Throw it out.
Which brings us to edge protectors, because sharp corners are strap killers.
Abrasion against a sharp metal edge can reduce strap strength by up to 50% almost instantly. Corner guards, those little plastic or rubber sleeves that slip over the strap where it passes over an edge, are not optional accessories. They're load-bearing safety equipment, and the strap must always be routed through rated anchor points on the trailer bed, never just wrapped around a frame rail and hooked back on itself.
We've got the load secured. Now, the connection between vehicle and trailer, tow bar versus tow rope. And this is one of those areas where what's legal and what's smart actually align.
In most jurisdictions, certainly across Europe and in many US states, any trailer over 750 kilograms gross weight requires a rigid tow bar, an A-frame or similar. The reason is braking. When you hit the brakes, a rigid bar transfers that deceleration force directly to the trailer, keeping it aligned behind the vehicle. A rope can't push, it only pulls. So under braking, a rope-coupled trailer becomes an unguided missile. Tow ropes are for emergency recovery only, pulling a stuck vehicle out of mud or snow. Even then, material choice matters enormously. Nylon stretches 15 to 20% under load, which is great for shock absorption. It's like a rubber band. It stores energy and releases it gradually. Polyester stretches only 5 to 8%, so it's better for steady pulling, but transmits more shock to both vehicles.
The length recommendation.
4 to 6 meters minimum for a recovery rope. If it snaps, that length gives it room to fall, rather than whipping back through a windshield. A shorter rope under tension stores just as much energy, but has less distance to dissipate it. The physics of that are frightening. A snapping tow rope can carry enough force to kill someone.
To summarize the vehicular side before we shift to manual towing, ratchet straps with adequate WLL for dynamic loads, edge protectors, rated anchor points, rigid tow bar for anything substantial, and if you must use a rope for recovery, nylon at 4 to 6 meters.
Inspect your webbing. The colored core yarn rule alone would prevent a lot of accidents if people actually followed it.
Now shift gears, or rather, shift to human power.
Manual towing flips every assumption you bring from the vehicular world. The forces are tiny by comparison. You're pulling maybe 200 kilos across a flat floor, not 750 at highway speed, but the connection points don't exist until you create them. A platform trolley is just a flat deck on four casters. No hitch, no anchor rings, nothing rated.
Which makes the clamping problem almost perverse. You've got a perfectly good trolley that can carry hundreds of kilos, and the hardest part is figuring out where to attach a rope without it slipping off or tearing something.
Three approaches that actually work. First, the wraparound strap method. You run a heavy strap all the way around the trolley deck, under and over, and cinch it tight. Sew a D-ring into the loop, and that's your tow point. It's cheap, it's adjustable, and it distributes force across the whole frame instead of concentrating it on one bolt.
Downside being that if the strap loosens, your tow point migrates.
Which is why you use a cam buckle or a friction buckle to maintain tension, not just a knot. The second option is a clamp-on tow hitch. These are purpose-built brackets that bolt to the trolley frame. European material handling suppliers sell them as tow bar for platform trolley kits. They clamp around the frame rail with set screws, and they give you a proper eyelet or pin receiver. Much more secure, but you're adding hardware to a trolley that might not be yours to modify. If the trolley frame is steel, a rare earth magnetic tow point with a shear rating of a couple hundred kilos can work for light loads. The catch is that they release catastrophically if the shear force exceeds the magnet's rating. There's no gradual failure, it just lets go. Fine for an empty trolley train on a smooth floor. Not fine if you're pulling anything heavy or going over thresholds.
The bolt-on hitch is the adult solution. The wrap strap is the sensible DIY compromise, and the magnet is for showing off.
That's about right. Now, once you've got a connection point, the next question is, what connects the trolleys to each other and to you? And this is where material choice gets counterintuitive.
My instinct would be to grab whatever rope is in the closet.
That instinct leads to a trolley train that jerks you around like an impatient dog on a leash. The physics, when you start walking, you accelerate your body mass before the trolley load begins to move. That lag creates a shock load in whatever's connecting you to the trolley. A dynamic climbing rope, 10 or 11 millimeter diameter, stretches 30 to 40% under load. That elasticity absorbs the starting jerk beautifully. But once you're moving at a steady pace, that same stretch makes the train feel bouncy and unresponsive. You pull, the rope extends, the trolley catches up a half second later, the rope slackens, repeat.
It's the wrong tool for the job, even though it's technically a very good rope.
Static rope, low stretch polyester, 8 to 10 millimeter, solves the bounciness problem, but transmits every shock straight into your shoulders and spine. No give at all. The sweet spot for manual towing is tubular nylon webbing, the kind climbers use for anchors. 20 kilonewton rated, 2 meters long, about 25 millimeters wide. It's basically seatbelt material. It stretches just enough to take the edge off starting jerks, maybe 5 to 7%, but not so much that the train oscillates. And the flat profile means it doesn't roll underfoot or twist into a trip hazard the way round rope does.
That flat profile detail is the kind of thing you only learn by tripping over round rope repeatedly.
Which brings us to the handle, because the tow line is only as good as the interface between it and the human pulling. ISO 12282, which covers manual handling, specifies that a pulling handle should sit at waist height, roughly 90 to 100 centimeters from the ground, to transfer force through the legs rather than the lower back.
Most trolley handles are not that.
Most trolley handles are an afterthought. A single vertical post with a loop at the top. You pull with one arm, your spine twists, and your lower back takes the entire load. The fix is a T-bar handle with a grip diameter between 30 and 40 millimeters. That's the power grip range where your fingers can fully close around the bar without overlapping. Foam sleeves feel nice on day one, but compress over time and lose friction. Rubber molding provides consistent grip, but can create hot spots on long pulls if there's no texture to let your skin breathe.
Rubber with some kind of pattern.
A diamond knurl, or a ribbed pattern, yes. And the T-bar shape matters because it lets you pull with both arms symmetrically, engaging your shoulders evenly and keeping your spine aligned. Steering control improves too. A T-bar gives you leverage to twist the whole train into a turn, whereas a rope handle just pulls the lead trolley and hopes the rest follow.
Which they often don't. The jackknifing problem.
That's the final piece, steering geometry. On a four-trolley train across polished concrete, the tow point on each trolley needs to be as low as possible, near the axle line. A high tow point creates a tipping moment every time you turn. The trolley wants to rotate around its vertical axis and lift a wheel. Do that on a corner and the whole train folds up like an accordion.
The imagery again.
A rigid tow bar between trolleys. Say a 1 meter aluminum tube with clevis pins at each end eliminates that. The bar forces each trailing trolley to follow the exact path of the one in front of it. No sway, no overshoot. With a rope, each trolley cuts the corner tighter than the one ahead, and by the fourth trolley, you've got a pileup. The rigid bar with a pivoting hitch at the attachment point gives you the directional control without sacrificing the ability to turn. It's the same principle as the A-frame on a highway trailer, scaled down to human power.
What do we actually do with all this? Daniel asked for suggestions, and I think we owe him 3 that someone could act on tomorrow without a material science degree.
First one's the vehicular side. Always use ratchet straps with a working load limit at least 1.5 times the actual load weight, not equal to it 1.5 times, and inspect the webbing before every single use. Under EN 1295-2, if you can see the colored core yarn through any cut or abrasion in the outer sheath, the strap is dead. No tape, no, it's probably fine.
Most people's ratchet straps look like they've been through a war, and they keep cranking them down anyway.
They're gambling. The second one is for manual towing. Build a custom tow bar. 1 meter of aluminum tube, 25 millimeter diameter, 2 millimeter wall thickness, with clevis pins at each end. Total materials cost under $30. That rigid bar between trolleys eliminates the sway and jackknifing you get with rope, and it gives you actual directional control around corners.
You can source all of that at a hardware store in one trip.
The clevis pins just need to match the eyelets on whatever attachment point you've rigged on the trolley. Third one, the handle. Make it a T-bar with a 35mm diameter grip, foam sleeve, mounted at waist height. That engages both arms symmetrically, keeps your spine straight, and shifts the pulling force into your legs instead of your lower back. Compared to yanking a single rope handle with one arm, you're looking at roughly 40% less spinal loading.
40% is the difference between finishing the move and spending the next 3 days horizontal.
The nice thing is, these 3 recommendations scale. The strap rule applies whether you're hauling a garden trailer or a car transporter. The tow bar design works for 2 trolleys or 6. And the T-bar handle is ergonomically sound whether you're moving boxes across a warehouse or circling a flat.
Here's the question I keep coming back to. We've got a perfectly workable DIY tow bar design, aluminum tube, clevis pins, under $30. But it's still a jerry-rig. Is there a world where someone actually manufactures a standardized quick coupling system for manual trolley trains? Something like a miniature fifth wheel hitch that just clicks in and locks?
I think the demand is building, but the market hasn't caught up yet. If you look at last mile urban logistics right now, handcart delivery in dense city centers, micro-fulfillment centers where workers are moving trains of trolleys across warehouse floors, the ergonomic injury cost is enormous. Companies are paying for it in workers' comp, not in equipment. The moment someone does the math and realizes a $30 engineered coupling saves thousands in back injury claims, you'll see products appear.
The economics are there, but nobody's connecting the dots.
The dots are in different departments. Facilities buys trolleys, HR handles injury claims, and neither talks to engineering. But I'd watch for 2 things. 1. Lightweight composite tow bars, carbon fiber or glass, reinforced polymer that weigh half what aluminum does and can be molded with integrated coupling mechanisms. 2. Smart handles with load sensors that tell you when you're pulling beyond safe limits.
A handle that nags you about your spine?
A handle that vibrates or lights up when the force exceeds whatever threshold you've set. The sensor technology is already cheap. It's the same accelerometer chips in every phone. Packaging it into an ergonomic grip is just a product design problem, not a physics problem.
The future of manual towing might actually look less like a hardware store run, and more like a proper engineered system.
I'd bet on it. The question is whether the consumer market gets there first. People doing DIY moves who want something better than rope, or whether commercial logistics drives it. My money's on logistics, and then the consumer products trickle down.
Which means, for now, Daniel's building his own tow bar. But in 5 years, he might be ordering one online that's lighter, stronger, and smarter than anything we just described.
That's the thing about good engineering principles. They don't go obsolete. Even when the materials and sensors change, the physics of load distribution and ergonomic force transfer stay the same. The clevis pin might become a quick-release coupling, but it'll still be mounted low on the axle line.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In Tang Dynasty China, the Bureau of Forestry maintained a register of every tree in the imperial forests, with officials required to measure trunk circumference annually using silk tapes calibrated to a central standard rod. If a measurement was off by more than 2/10 of a kun, about 6 millimeters, the official was fined 10 days' salary.
6 millimeters gets you 10 days' pay docked. That's a tough performance review.
Imagine explaining that to your family. I measured a pine tree wrong.
So if you've got a move coming up or you're building out a trolley train for some ambitious apartment logistics, send us what you come up with. We'd love to hear how the tow bar works in practice. Email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com.
This has been My Weird Prompts with me, Herman Poppleberry.
Review us wherever you listen if you feel like it. It helps. We'll be back with whatever Daniel throws at us next.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.